So we've been hanging out in John's Gospel for a couple of weeks now, and we're going to stay here for a few more. Although for some maddening reason that I just cannot comprehend, we jump back and forth way too much. The section we're in today is called, usually, the Farewell Discourse. It runs for about five chapters or so, and it is essentially Jesus interpreting his death for his friends. He's telling them what it means to share in his suffering and in his resurrection. And he's telling them, and by extension telling us, that even after he's gone, he will not be gone. We started in this section last week with Jesus saying, "He is the true vine, and they, or we, are the branches." That his followers are grafted into him, and they can only bear fruit through the connection with him. And then this morning, we get this ode to the importance of love. And I want to say this right up front. It's okay if you think it's a little rambling and hard to follow. Me too. Even some of the best scholars of John agree, although they tend to use more verbose and less judgy language. So as I was preparing for this, for example, one commentator says that this section is very difficult to outline because it is more concerned with developing repetitive themes than it is with following any sort of precise arrangement. He could have just said it's rambling, but I digress. Between the epistle and the gospel this morning, I think I counted some form of the word love 14 times. Now, I don't know if the same John wrote both books. No one does. Probably not, to be honest. But they definitely came out of the same community, the same tradition, the same experiences. And in that community, love was definitely important. So much so that they beat us over the head with it today. Now, on one hand, if you hear something too many times, you stop hearing it altogether. But on the other hand, the repetition tells us what's important, what it is we should focus on. Now, with love, context is very important. You can say you love your family, you love God, you love pizza and good wine, you love the ocean, you love the color blue. Okay, well, that's my list. You're going to have to make your own. But the point is, we throw that word around a lot, and it means completely different things. This is a good time to pause and tell you what this sermon is not. You may have heard that the Greek language has different words for different kinds of love, and that is true. It should even be something that's helpful here. C.S. Lewis wrote a whole book about it. But we've realized more recently that sometimes the distinctions between the words weren't super clear. So, for example, just like when I write a sermon in Word and I right-click and use that synonym button, writers in ancient times did the same thing sometimes, except using their brains. We know from just John's Gospel that he used at least two of those words totally interchangeably, and other ancient authors did the same. So yes, telling you that this section is all about a kind of love called agape love might be helpful, but only in the sense that it was considered the most virtuous kind, and that it was sacrificial and self-giving. But it's not worth belaboring the point because you get all of that from the passage anyway. So this is definitely not a sermon on Greek. You're welcome. Instead, I'd like to stick with the focus on the context of this passage, on its setting in the story, if you will. So Jesus is not just waxing poetic about the value of love. He's telling them that he's preparing to die for them. These are the parting words to his friends. I wish we had heard the next few verses as well, but he goes on to say that after he's gone, they can expect the world will hate them too, and maybe even try to kill them. And we know that was true as well, because the persecutions definitely did come. So this community needed to focus on love. Because to return to last week's metaphor, without that love, they would wither and die like a branch cut off from its vine. So maybe the argument really isn't that hard to follow. The source of Jesus' love for his followers was his Father's love for him, because love originates in God. And so followers have a simple mission: remain in that love. Now, interestingly, part of remaining in that love is obeying Jesus, which itself includes the commandment to love. But that obedience cannot come out of fear or a sense of obligation. It must arise in that love. Love for God and love for each other. Because real love cannot be coerced. Real love, then, I don't think it's saying too much to say that it almost becomes the life force of the world. It carries us through loss and grief. It lets us forgive. It lets us love others. It's what motivates us to live the way that God wants us to. And that makes love a call to action. Because this kind of love is not an emotion. It's a commitment. That kind of love quite literally changes the world. Okay, so maybe that summary is still a little bit too rambling. So instead, I'm going to leave you with the words of a better preacher than I, who has written lots and lots of sermons about love. And that is our presiding bishop. He wrote this, and as soon as I read it, I realized it was time for me to just shut up. The message of God is very simple. Love one another. Take care of one another. Take care of creation. And while you're at it, love me. Love God. Do that and you will find your way. That is the core of the gospel. That is the only sermon that matters. Amen.